blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 51. All the stanzas, amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 51. Thank you.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 17, beginning with verse 20 to the end. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or See there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of the entire universe, especially of this world which thou hast created and set the crown of thy creation upon it, and we have been created in thy image to serve thee in all things. And we have departed so far away, and that thou couldst do no other and than to bring thy judgments upon us and our children, as so that the world has been embroiled in turmoil in these last years, when thou didst send disease upon the earth. And now, once again. Thou dost send war in the land, and thou knowest all those that are oppressed, those that do mourn already, and those who are in great danger in this day, in these moments. O Lord, we beseech Thee for them, and that Thou mayest watch over and protect them, and that Thou wouldest stop the aggressor, and that Thou mayest remember also the soldiers, young men, sent into the war. O Lord, that Thou mayest be on the right and on the left there in that place, and arise in Thy mercy, and judge us not according to our many sins, and that Thou would prevent also an escalation, for Thou knowest how quickly, and that it can be brought into our own lands. O that Thou wouldest in Thy mercy look on us, but wilt Thou in Thy mercy especially stop us on our mad career? For there is by nature nothing that is able to stop us in our ignorance, in our foolishness, in our rebellion against Thee. Oh, that Thou may bring us low as nations, as peoples, that we may be brought back to Thy testimonies, that we may see the cause for all this evil, and that we may turn again unto Him who smiteth us, and that we may beseech Thee all together as one people, as one nation, as one world, a fallen generation of sons and daughters of Adam. O turn us, Lord, and bring us back again, that is possible, in and through Thy dear and only begotten Son, whom Thou hast sent into this world, that Thou mayest give peace upon the earth, not to stop the wars, for they shall continue and increase, but Thou wilt give peace in the heart of Thy people, as we have sung together, the burden of the sorrowful, the Lord will not despise. Oh, that Thou may remember them where that they are in sorrow. Oh, we have no true sorrow from our side. It can only be given by Thee. It is a most powerful work of Thy Holy Spirit, so that even a Manasseh of old would be brought by Thee into the prison, a man who had slain Thy people, even a Saul of Tarsus, that it may be said even of such men, behold, he prayeth. O Lord, how mighty, how powerful is Thy most Holy Spirit to raise a dead soul and to stop a stubborn and a rebellious people. Oh, to bring us upon our knees before Thee and to bow us in the dust of self-abasement and to make room for Thy Son, who we despise by nature. Oh, that Thou wouldst reveal Him by Thy Spirit unto those sorrowful ones, that they may receive an eye for the first or by renewal, to look upon him in his beauty, that they may be given to see him as the gift of the Father, that they may behold him as that blessed substitute, as the surety for those who are not able to pay their debts, and that they may behold him as that blessed shepherd of his sheep, to gather again those who have wandered, and to bring them back into thy fold. Give desires in the hearts of young and old for these spiritual blessings, that we may not miss the essential things while we are so busy marrying and giving in marriage. And then the end shall come upon a people who are unprepared to stand in that great judgment. O Lord, we beseech thee, it lies not in us. Thou dost call us by thy word. Thou dost call us by thy creation. But we will not hear. Oh, then it is so necessary that thou also dost shoot an arrow into our hearts, and that thou mayst say unto us in a personal way, thus far and no further. Oh, bring us, Lord, unto that blessed place, and that thy name may be glorified and magnified, and that of thy dear and only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased. O he does sit at thy right hand, O send them then with him that spirit forth to bless and sanctify his work, and that finished work which he has done here upon the world, as we have heard it in these moments. First, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Oh, that he may not be rejected by us and by our children. Wilt thou look upon all those that mourn in these days? And thou knowest the place where they are, both near and far away. And this sin has brought affliction, tribulation, trial, and death. And give us eyes to behold the cause, and that we might hate it, and that we may flee from it, and that we may desire to be rid of it, and that we may be given to see the only way. Thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Wilt thou remember us in this hour? Help us in the bringing, help us in the hearing of thy holy word. Whether here in our own homes, remember all that have no desire to be in thy house, those that have left the truth. Lord, could it please thee to bring them back again, and that thou mayst restore again that which belongs together, and that thou mayst heal all breaches, and that thou mayst glorify thyself in the midst of us. Be with those who suffer from addictions, to drugs, to alcohol, and thou knowest all where they are and the struggles which they have. Our young people who are tempted with all the wiles of the devil, which only increase, that thou may care for them in the days of their youth, to show them the beauty of thy service, to give them to delight in purity, in uprightness. Remember husbands and wives. Wilt thou give love for one another? Wilt thou be with our young people also as they do look for a husband and a wife? Oh, that thou may keep them also in purity, for Satan does turn everything upside down. Oh, give them to see the way of the devil. Give them to see the way of the Lord, and to love and desire to walk in it, and to receive thy blessing. Wilt thou care for all those that have crosses that we do not know of, or that we cannot help with? Those that must receive treatments for serious diseases, thou knowest the place also of each one of them. And those that have crosses that are hidden from us, oh, give them that blessed place by thee. Help us in this hour. Strengthen us and do us with power from on high, that it may be thy word through a weak instrument that is used for the conversion of sinners and for the instruction and edification of thy people. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 257, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Let all the peoples of the earth give glory to the Lord. Give Him the glory due His name, and strength to Him accord. And what follows in 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 257. Beloved congregation, this past week, the world has witnessed the beginning of a new war. Can you imagine that, young people? When our Prime Minister would desire to take Montana into the country of Canada and send you in a tank there to slay those of the United States of America. Can you imagine that? How would you like to do that? I think all of you would say, I would have no desire to go. That is so, you can imagine. Also, in the heart of many of those young men that have to go on the command of their leader, war, that is always such a terrible, terrible thing. You say it is far away from us. Be careful, because such a little thing is able to draw us also as a country into such a conflict as this one, to bring destruction and suffering into our own land. May the Lord give to us prayer for that people. May the Lord give to us also prayer for the nations of this world, and also our own nation. The Lord Jesus, He has said that toward the end of this world, and that we are going to hear of wars and of rumors of wars. Former minister has once said, read your Bible next to your newspaper, and then you will see that the prophecies that are written therein are true, and that they continue to come to pass. Many Ukrainians are this day seeking a place of safety. Last week, boys and girls, the little children were playing in the streets, just like you. And today those little children may not play there because it is so very dangerous. And so they have to, with their mother and father, their family, they have many of them to hide in their basements. How quickly that everything can change in the world, and that everything can change in our life. But how will that be then when the end of this world is come, which the Lord Jesus speaks of also in His Word? And then there will also be a seeking for a place of safety. Christ says that men will call to the mountains to fall on us, and for the hills to cover us and to hide us from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne. That is not only from an enemy here in this world, but to hide us from the almighty wrath of God. Solomon, he says that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Are you also a prudent man? A prudent man sees it beforehand. A prudent man is looking now, in the time of safety, of health, of strength, when there is opportunity, he is looking. He is looking for that place of safety Where did he can run? Where did he can go? And when that time is suddenly coming upon him, that he shall have to flee. The disciples, they are asking the Lord Jesus about this place of safety, where that place is. Do you also have a desire? While the Lord is waiting, while the judgments are not yet here, do we have a desire to find and to know this place of safety that is found in the words of our text, which you can find in the portion read to us, Luke 17, and there of the last portion of the last verse. Luke 17, verse 37, the last part. And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So far the words of our text. The eagles gathering about the body. First, the circumstances of this metaphor. And second, the explanation of this metaphor. The eagles gathering about the body. First, the circumstances, and second, the explanation of this metaphor. We read together here that the Lord Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Thus, what does that mean? The kingdom of God. When the Pharisees are asking him, the kingdom of God, what is that? Well, we know that the Jews, they have looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, that is the Son of David, who would sit upon the throne of Israel. And thus, they called this the coming of the kingdom of God. And they were waiting for this. And there were prophecies that did show to them that the time was close by, that kingdom was going to come. Of course, they did not believe that the Lord Jesus was that Messiah. They rejected him. So what will the Lord Jesus say then when they demand of him, when they ask of him, when shall that kingdom of God come? When shall that Messiah come and sit upon that throne? And he gives him an answer. And he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Thus the Jewish people, they are looking for the coming of that kingdom, we know, in a carnal way, in an external way. They are looking for earthly things. The Lord Jesus says, you are mistaken. By nature, congregation, we are carnal. Even though we are religious, and they were very religious, yet we are so carnal. Only spiritual birth can change that. Our carnality, religion cannot change that. No, the Lord has to change that to give a new birth, a new heart. That we are looking not for the carnal things, but that we are looking after the spiritual things. Has the Lord given to you spiritual life? Or have we but yet a natural life? Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Thus, if that kingdom of God is not within us, he says, you are on the outside. You are not in. the kingdom of God, because the church, they carry that kingdom with them. Everywhere that they go, they carry that kingdom in their heart. The Pharisees do not realize it. But the Lord Jesus says that kingdom has come already. And that king is standing directly before you. You are speaking to this king, but they cannot see him. Why not? They are blind. Why are they so blind? Pride has blinded their eyes. Unbelief has blinded their eyes. Oh, that kingdom that was not far away from them. No, it was very, very near. And it is near to us too. The kingdom of God, very, very near to us. Did we ever see it? We do not see it. We do not see it by nature, though we are religious. Why not? Because our eyes are blinded. It is carnality that blinds our eyes. It is pride. It is unbelief that blinds our eyes. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them, for as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. The kingdom of God that was in the heart of his disciples. And yet the kingdom of God did not prevent that also some carnality would still live in the heart of those disciples. Thus, the Pharisees, they are on the outside of that kingdom. They are all carnality. That was not true of the disciples, because they have spiritual life. And yet God's people, they must so often say, I am so carnal. And that is true. Because that spiritual life that does not take away all the carnality that is living in that people, that is left unto them as a burden. The Apostle Paul, he says that that people must mortify the flesh. That is all that carnality. Thus those disciples, they are also looking for that earthly kingdom, for that increase in a temporal prosperity. They are asking the Lord Jesus, may we sit on thy right hand, may we sit on thy left hand in thy kingdom. Nice, for their flesh. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, he says, you must be prepared for something else. It is going to go so very different from that. Today you enjoy my presence. I am with you every day. Different days are coming. Days are coming that I am taken away from you. Oh, the Lord is so good for his people. Because the Lord is preparing his people for the days that are ahead. That they might know. Although the disciples, they still did not understand in their carnality what the Lord Jesus meant. But it is now going to be the same with the gospel, because the disciples, they see all that great multitude of people. And then they are becoming also excited. They think that the Lord Jesus is going to ascend the throne. And when the people, they begin to sing, and he is going up to Jerusalem, and the disciples, they begin to sing louder than everyone, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Oh, is that now going to be the time that the kingdom of God is going to come? That is living also in the heart of the disciples of the Lord. And the Lord says to his disciples, "Oh, you must be ready for something that is so very, very different." 3,000 on a day of Pentecost. We later read of 4,000. But it will not continue to be that way. In the beginning, there was large numbers of people. They're all about the Lord Jesus. They soon left him. There was only a little flock left. How often is that not so also in the life of God's own children? Oh, then the Lord is coming. In that time of first love, then there is so much desire and there is so much longing, and that inner chamber that is filled when the Lord is revealing himself in the life of his children. When he gives them eyes to behold him, when they may taste the sweetness of that word of the Lord, then it is so good. And what does the Lord Jesus say to them? Oh, then we read that here. "The days are coming when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. You shall not see him." Then they have to learn that Christ is such a hidden person in the life of his people, the kingdom of God. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says that kingdom is going to come without the pomp and without the noise of all the earthly kingdoms, how they come into this world. So he says, "Go not thou after them." When they shall say, "See here, see there, is that Messiah?" Go not after them. When there is a cry made, because you will not find him. No, the kingdom of God, he says, that will come very quietly. Do you know where it comes, boys and girls? Children, young people, you know where it comes? Quietly in your heart. Was it ever born there? The kingdom of God, did God by his Spirit ever set it up there? You know what happens there? Many times in the house of God, sometimes reading that holy scriptures, that word of God, that is coming quietly in the heart of a person. You know what the Lord plans there? Love. Love. When they hear that word, when they read that word, and then suddenly the Lord plants love in their heart to that God, to that God of heaven and of earth. Did that ever happen in your life, young people? Fathers, mothers? Maybe you cannot remember that day. Maybe you cannot point out that day. But that love that has remained, oh, quietly. Quietly in the heart of his people, then there is a desire born. A desire. That is not a kingdom coming with the loudness of this world. No, it is a kingdom coming quietly in the heart. A longing. A longing, again. A looking up unto that God that has created me. Whom I have left. Oh, could I desire. Could I desire to come back unto him again. Do you know what is coming in that heart? Quietly, a weeping. Nobody sees that. Often not. because children, then you know what happens. Then as a child, then you will go sometimes into your own bedroom. Then you will weep there. Your heart will weep. Tears will come also in your eyes. And the Lord will show to you how good that He is, what He has given to you in your whole life, and how that you have turned your back unto the Lord, unto the King of the whole world. You know what has happened in that moment? And that people do not understand that. That people, they think just the opposite. But you know what has happened in that moment? The kingdom of God has come. The Lord Jesus says it will not be local. It will not just be one people among the Jews. The kingdom of God is going to come all over the world. He says it will be as the lightning. So as the lightning shineth in one part under heaven, and it is seen also in another part under heaven, that is, he says, it is going to go over all the world. It will not just be among that Jewish people. That is now the coming of that kingdom that Christ is going to usher in by his coming. How is he going to usher that in? Is he going to usher that in by sitting upon the throne of the Jews? Will it be carnal things? No, he says, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. That is the message that he gives to his disciples. He is preparing them for the future. It is a declaration of the way of suffering. The Lord Jesus will rid his people of false notions that are in their minds, false apprehensions of his kingdom. And he will teach them to count the cost of being a disciple of the Lord. And then the Lord Jesus begins to tell them how that it will be so opposite to the expectations of the Jews. That capital of that city that they expected is going to be destroyed. And they will crucify their king. And now in that prophecy, when he speaks about the destruction of Jerusalem, then at the same time, then there is a further fulfillment, and he is speaking about the destruction of this world, that is the end of this world, his second coming, the day of judgment. And then he speaks about how suddenly and that this is going to come. He says it is going to come without warning. All the warnings that have been given, they will have been cast to the wind. They will have been without any profit. They have been mocked, he says, as it was in the days of Noah. It is going to be when people, they have fallen asleep under the knowledge of the truth, under the knowledge of the religion of that Jewish nation. They have become so accustomed to having the truth. And they were unheedful of all the admonitions that were given unto them. And then the judgments, they will suddenly come. Just as that flood has suddenly come. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah has suddenly been destroyed. And the Jews experienced this. When that city of Jerusalem was taken, when that city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the hand of their enemies, and then the Lord Jesus tells his people what to do in that day. He says they must flee. Flee that city. He says, do not look back. Remember Lot's wife. Do not look back on all those earthly things. Those were happy people in that night who fled unto Pella and were outside of that city, as that Jewish people. They have stubbornly resisted, and they have tried to stand for that city, just like in Ukraine. Right, young people, you read it. Oh, a great bravery, we understand that. That is a good thing for those people, and that they are standing against this evil. But that was different for the Jews, because the Lord, he had already told them, and that city was going to be destroyed. And then they were fighting not only against the enemy, but they were fighting against the Lord. And the Lord Jesus then tells them that there is going to be a line of separation that is going to go directly through that Jewish people, directly through that visible church. A line of separation that is going to go directly through even their own families. Two in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Two in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. How will it be for us, husbands, wives, children? Will you be taken and your sister left? Will you be left? Will your husband, your wife be taken? How will that line go through your own home? Are we converted yet? Under all the labors of the Lord, or are we depending on something that is not safe? Are we depending on this baptized forehead? Are we depending on a confession? The Lord Jesus says, no. No, no, no. Do not depend on this. Because there's going to be going a line through that confession. Thus it is not enough for your safety. So Christ says to his disciples, and what is the answer of his disciples? That is a question. Do we also have a question? What is your question now? What is your question? Is that now the same question as the disciples? What did they ask? They say, where, Lord? Where? Do we ask the same? What are they asking? They say, where then can that kingdom of God be found? Where then is that true church of God to be found? Who then are actually that people who, despite all tradition and religion, that shall be safe in that day? Where, Lord, not only the visible church, but where is now that invisible church? Where is now that elect people? And Christ answers that question. And what does he say? He says the words of our text. And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. You say, that is a strange answer. That is not an answer we understand. Why does the Lord Jesus answer that way? Well, the there are enemies around. They are listening too. And the Lord Jesus, he will not give those enemies something to take hold on. No, he will speak to his people. And he will give his people to understand. And the rest of them shall be blinded. That is now the same as he does today. He will reveal it unto those babes. But he will hide it from the wise and the prudent in themselves. Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Elsewhere, he says, wheresoever the carcass is. So when he says the body, then he is speaking about a dead body. Now, a dead body is not something that the eagle that we know of will eat. Right, children? The eagles, they don't eat dead meat. No, they want live meat. So that eagle that the Lord Jesus is speaking about is not the same eagle that we know of. It is some other kind of bird. Probably similar to something that we might call a vulture. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, wherever that there is, there lying a dead body, then these eagles, oh, they have been given a sharp eyesight from the Lord. And they can see that dead body from so, so very far away. And then you see them coming. One is coming from this direction and another is coming from that direction, and they are all coming down to that same body. Oh, there is a unity, a blessed unity among those eagles. They are all looking for the same thing. They are all desiring the same thing. They all need the same thing. They are distinguished from other birds of prey who do despise those dead bodies. But all of these birds, these eagles that he speaks of, and they are coming to do what? They are coming to feed upon these dead bodies. Bodies. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he talks about a unity of the true church of God, not just of a visible church. No, he speaks about the unity of God's elect. That is now the answer that he is giving to his disciples when they say, where, Lord? There is now that people that will be safe. Where is now the people that will have a hiding place? Where is now the people that will have a refuge in that great day of days when that kingdom of God is coming and when thou art appearing upon the clouds of heaven? And what does the Lord Jesus say? Oh, my disciples, do you wish to know? You will find that people around a dead body. What dead body is that? Are you a little ahead of me, children? You're a little ahead of me. Let us sing first. 47, stanzas 8 and 9. Down unto death thou leadest me, consumed by thirst and agony, with cruel hate and anger fierce, my helpless hands and feet they pierce. 8 and 9 of Psalter 47. Thank you. wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Christ says there is one holy Catholic church. Catholic, spread over the entire world. That is going to be the most evident on the day that he is coming to judge the quick and the dead, when he is going to place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand, so that there will be a visible division before the entire world. Those that have been alive and changed, and everyone who has been resurrected from the dead, from the beginning of this world. Oh, what is then the thing that is uniting that people who are on the right hand of Christ, and that is at the same time distinguishing them from those who are placed on the left hand? Oh, Christ then does not say, wheresoever you find this denomination, they are safe. Wheresoever you find this tradition, wheresoever you find this custom, they are the ones. He does not even say, wherever you find this truth, the visible church, they are gathered around a certain truth. But he says, it is still narrower than this. Oh, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. What does he say? Wheresoever the body is, wheresoever the carcass is. What does he mean? He speaks about his crucified body. He said to the multitude, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, though you have much religion in you. No life in you. And then what do we read? Many of that multitude, many of his disciples, not the 12, many of his disciples left. What did they say? This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We are children of Abraham. What do you mean? That we are not included in that kingdom of God? Oh, there are many birds of prey that will have nothing to do with a dead carcass. And there are many religious persons who will have nothing to do with a crucified Christ, because it is foolishness unto us. But these eagles that the Lord Jesus is speaking about, he says, this is the life of those people. Oh, they are coming. They are coming from the east and from the west. And they are flying there to feed upon this dead carcass. Oh, they are flying about. They are looking, searching for it. It is their life. It is their very existence. Thus we have the great distinction that the Lord Jesus himself is making, that distinction that is going to be made in that last day, and the personal question for each and every one of us. And what is that question? Oh, the sufferings and the death of Christ, has that ever in our life become food and drink for our soul? That is now the question that is going to divide between the precious and the vile in the judgment of God. The coming weeks, if all is well, then we hope to speak about this when the Lord may give it the passion, the sufferings of his only begotten Son. And so we will have, as it were, opportunity, every one of us, to examine ourselves. That is not whether we belong to the NRC, but do I belong to those eagles? To those eagles that are gathering around that body, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. What is now the cause of a dead body? You ever think about that, children? You ever see a dead body? Animal? Person? What is the cause of a dead body? And that is sin. Was that ever now bound upon your soul, that sin is the cause of death? That is the first thing that is necessary. And if we have never been occupied in our life with this cause, then we have never seen the beauty in the carcass, in the dead, in the crucified body of Christ. Then it is only loathsome to us, because death is loathsome to us. The wages of sin is death. What kind of death? Not only natural, also spiritual death and eternal death. Oh, that spiritual death. Did you ever mourn that death? Was that now ever a burden to your soul? What is that? The loss of that image of God. Was that ever a grief to you? Knowledge, righteousness, holiness. Did you ever mourn because you know not God? Did you ever mourn because you have lost that true wisdom that we have been created in? Solomon says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Did you ever become a fool before the Lord? Because of your own sin, that I have lost all the knowledge of him, that I have lost that righteousness, that you have lost that separation, you have lost that communion, that you have been separated from him. Was that ever your grief? Having no hope and without God in the world. Did you ever shed one tear for this? To say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Oh, did you ever mourn for the cause of death? Did you ever mourn over your spiritual death? Did you ever mourn saying, I am evil born in sin? Thou desirest truth within. This is the beginning. It is a mourning over death. It is a mourning over spiritual death, and then that temporal death that is ever before a person's eyes. I have to die. And then that judgment. Then I cannot stand in that judgment. And that eternal death. Oh, that is an eternal separation. Oh, this is how a man walks over the world. And when he has entered into that kingdom of God, do you know what the Lord gives to that people? In his own time, the eyes of the eagle. An eagle's eyes, oh, they are sharp. Eagle can see what a man cannot see. Can see from so very far away. And the Lord gives that people an eye to see a dead body. He opens to them the beauty of a carcass that is hanging between the heavens and the earth. Oh, then they may see that he is hanging there at the good pleasure of the Father. Oh, they are given an eagle's eye to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, hidden from so many in this world. But the Lord makes them just like that eagle, and he gives them an eye that is so very, very sharp. Oh, then that suffering and that death that becomes so very precious to their soul. Then they are like that eagle when they see it and they have a desire for it. And they are flying from far. Why? Then they want to partake of it. Oh, then they want it to become theirs. Then they want to eat of it. You say, how may I know? How may I know if I have now so eaten, just like one of those eagles, to have eaten of that flesh and drunk of that blood? Well, we know that by the fruits. We know that by the effects. What does eating do? It strengthens you. It strengthens you. Do you fear the judgment because of sin? Can you not stand in that judgment before God? Do you know what that people experience when they may eat of that flesh and when they may drink of that blood? Oh, then not all that fear is gone. No, it is not all gone. But there is a strengthening. A strengthening to go into that judgment. Then they perceive something by faith. Do you know what it is that strengthens a man in judgment? Innocence. Why are they so afraid? Guilt. Guilt. But when they may now eat of that flesh and drink of that blood, oh, then there is a receiving by faith, something of that innocence, and that gives them strength to go forward. Because eating of that flesh and drinking of that blood, that is silencing that curse of the law of God. When they may see that dead carcass, when they may perceive by faith the cause of that death, his innocence, and what was laid upon him, oh, then faith is receiving something when it is eating and when it is drinking. And it is now the fruits of this that to give a man to know whether he has eaten or drunk from that flesh and blood. Do you know what that drinking and that eating does? It strengthens them in the warfare. You've probably read, young people, the president of Ukraine, brave man, isn't he? Brave man. Stay there in Kyiv. What a leader that man is. He says, I stay right here. And my people, we stay right here. And we defend our country. And we defend our city. And that does what? Oh, that gives so much courage. And everyone that comes around him, and they say, we do not flee because, well, then they say, we are going to win. Yes. And then they fight. Why? Because they are encouraged that the battle is theirs. That it's won. Oh, do you know what eating and drinking of that flesh and blood of Christ does to a soul? Oh, by faith, then they may see that the warfare is accomplished. It is accomplished. It does not depend on their fighting. What does that do to that people? Do they then walk in sin in this world? No. But it is strengthening them in the warfare that they might fight against sin in their life. Thus there are those, they say, grace that makes a man careless. It is the opposite. It gives him courage. It gives him strength. And those may know it by the eating and the drinking from this dead body. The fruits of faith experienced in the soul of that people, of those eagles. Do you know what they may experience? With what love that meal is given. With what love that body, that dead carcass has been given. Love. Why? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Oh, then their soul may sink away under the wonder of the love of God to such as they are. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, if peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The fruits of faith experienced in the souls of those eagles. You know how you may know? If you have eaten of that flesh and drunk of that blood, because these taste something.
They taste. They taste something of that reconciliation that their soul so desires and longs for from that first moment that they have been brought into that kingdom of God. Do you know what they are given? They are given power. They are given power to draw nigh unto that God. Through His Son, oh, to draw nigh to His footstool and to taste something of His favor through His Son. Oh, they are given courage, that people, through that faith, may you experience that courage. Courage to stand in that court in their dire need, in the threat of their life, to go in unto that King and to look for that golden scepter to be extended unto them wheresoever the body is. Thither will the eagles be gathered together. Oh, they will fly. They will fly to a crucified Jesus from the four corners of this world. From China, from Russia, from Europe, from America, from all over the world, they are flying. We do not know where they are. The Lord knows where they are. As the lightning is shining in this part, in that part of this world, oh, then that people, oh, of the Roman centurion, what did the Lord Jesus say? I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Roman centurion, the Holy Catholic Church, they're all going to eat of the same meat. They're all going to drink of the same spiritual drink, a meat and drink that is despised by the world, that is also despised by the greatest part of the visible church of God. But it is now the life of these birds. It is the life of these eagles. They cannot live. They cannot exist without eating and drinking of that flesh of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. There is now the great object of true and saving faith by which that Holy Catholic Church is united all around that body. Are you united there? If not, we miss everything. We miss everything. That is now the great object of faith that is uniting those eagles and that is distinguishing them from all the other birds. That one Holy Catholic Church. How will it be? Two in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Where, Lord, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a solemn word of thee that does distinguish the precious from the vile. Give us self-examination. Give us an urgency about this matter. For suddenly the day of destruction comes upon man. Oh, give us prudence that we might foresee the evil and hide ourselves. And wilt thou care for us in this week? Be with those who are at war. And remember us in all what we must do, each one in our place in this world. Give us meditation upon thee and thy truth. Bring it further than our minds, that it may be bound upon our hearts, that we may be born again, and so enter into thy kingdom. To forgive and take away all that was amiss, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 139 stanzas 3 through 6. Our God shall surely come, nor silence shall he keep. Devouring fire shall herald him. About him storms shall sweep. 3, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 139.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.